curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast with Ron Kitchens. I'm Carla Soans and happy to be here again with you today, Ron.
Hey, great to be here.
Today we're going to be talking about knowledge sharing, and I know you've talked a lot about communication, and I'll let you give your analogy of what communication is like in an organization, but I think the most important thing to get out to the listening audience is that we've spent some time really trying to figure out how to give the listening audience a little bit of advice on communication. And so we've narrowed this down to three ways to get your communication to soar today. So we're going to be uncovering those as we progress through the podcast. But I know you've talked a lot about communication, but you have a great analogy for why communication continues to be an issue for people and business.
Yeah, so communications is one of those things that if you look at the best organizations in the world in terms of team engagement, satisfaction of employees, success in the marketplace, and you survey those groups, which you find that the number one thing that people are hungry for, the employees are hungry for, is more communications. And so that, and I heard an analogy one time, I wish I had written it, but that communications is like a giant rubber bucket. That, you know, being rubber, the more you pour into it, the more liquid you pour into it, the more it expands. So you got to pour more and more in to fill it, but it also has a big hole in it. So you have to put 2, 3, 4 times the amount of effort in that you did the day before just to keep full on top. And that's just human nature. The more we know, the more we want to know. So it makes it really hard, and you have to come up with different ways to communicate. We're also in a world of near constant communications and noise, and communications, the sound bites are much shorter. You know, there are 128 characters is what the expectation is to communicate an entire thought, but you want an entire stream of those. So we have to constantly, as leadership leaders, be changing and adapting to new styles, but understanding that humans haven't changed. They have a hunger to know more.
I think you're dead on, Ron. And we have the opportunity of coaching a lot of different organizations as they continue to grow and progress and really work on their engagement strategies and their overall productivity. And it never fails. I mean, if you asked myself or Sarah Mansberger, who does a lot of coaching with individuals and companies, it never fails that communication is at the top of the list for companies to work on.
And good and bad.
Good and bad. Yeah. Good and bad companies. It really is always at the top of the list. And I think it really comes down to, and we've talked a lot about why communication is so important. And a lot of that is because it really drives productivity. And so there's a lot of statistics. And I know we talked about a couple the other day as a team, but the average worker is spending 13 hours just on their email a week alone. And that just kind of goes to show you how much time is being taken in communication. 13 hours. So that's like almost a third of your work week is spent just responding and communicating via email. And that doesn't include what you're doing by text and by phone and all those other things. So it really kind of boils down to why you need that communication and why it's so important and how it's driving business. And then another interesting fact that we uncovered was that a business with 100 employees spends an average downtime of 17 hours a week clarifying communication. Just clarifying communication. So when you add those two together, 50% of your work week is clarifying communication and answering emails. How great would it be to figure out ways to unlock some of that communication and streamline it and get your employees what they need so that you're not spending as much time?
You know, and I think you're dead on there. Communications is one of those things that it's often thought of as a structured process. And I think we're finding as we study organizations and kind of put ourselves in a laboratory that, you know, the best communication strategies are organic strategies. You know, we've gone to an open office concept. And you know, that was different from us. We went from big, airy glass boxes that every, you know, most people had their own space or they shared with one person to, you know, now nobody has an office, not you, not I, not anyone. And I was a little worried, you know, that we'd end up with that everyone was isolated in group. You know, everybody would have headphones on and you would never communicate. But the reality is most people have got a set of headphones around, but they're only using them briefly in times where I think we have a lot more laughter since we've gone into open concept. We have a lot more impromptu meetings that some would worry, well, how do you get things done with impromptu meetings? Well, it saves huge amounts of time because we're not trying to justify a 30-minute meeting that can be handled in three now. So I think that has been really critical. You know, I know something that you like, I still don't quite get. But is the puzzle table.
Love it.
So what is the benefit of the puzzle table?
Yeah, so we have a puzzle table at Southwest Michigan First, and it's just kind of sitting in an open area and you can pop over and put a few pieces together. But what I love about the puzzle table is it really provides an opportunity for a lot of cross-pollination between teams. So you never know who's going to be at that table with you. And it sparks a lot of good conversation. So not only do I love the challenge of putting a puzzle together, I find that really mentally stimulating, and it allows you to walk away from a task for a second and just kind of re-energize. I find it re-energizing. I know not everyone does, but it also creates just a camaraderie and an opportunity. Like there's people in the office that because of your natural walking patterns, you don't cross as much. But when you see them at the puzzle table, you get to hear about things that they're working on that are really cool. And you might not have otherwise known that that's what they were diving into. Or you're able to ask them questions about things that maybe in just normal day life, you wouldn't have asked about either home or work. So I find it to be a place where you can really just have organic conversation that cross-pollinates between teams that you just don't always have in an office without a natural gathering space.
Yeah, you're all right about that. And it's great to see interns alongside the senior most leaders and hanging out. I said, well, we can get any, whatever you want. You want a ping pong table? You want foosball? You want shuffleboard? Yeah, no, can we have a puzzle table? It still surprises me, but it tells a lot about who we are, I guess. We tend to work better as teams on things than want to compete with each other.
Exactly. Exactly. And it has been a lot of fun. I think we're on puzzle like 8 or 9, which is awesome.
I did a piece, I think, on the 2 puzzles ago. So I've done 1 piece out of those.
But you've spent some time in there, even if you haven't puzzled.
I do. I hang out.
Just to hear what's happening in there. So we are kind of starting to go into some of those. I said at the beginning of the podcast that we were going to talk about Southwest Michigan First and 3 ways that we've really looked at our communications and tried to streamline them or explore the communications in many ways in order to get that communication to soar as an organization. Because not unlike most companies, it continues to be the thing that when we pulse our team, we continue to look at how do we communicate better and how do we do that. So one of those you already mentioned, which was open office space and having that office space that's really conducive to the face-to-face conversations. So we talked about, you know, having that open concept that we have now, more collaborative, the puzzle table, and you said the impromptu meetings, which I think is so incredibly productive. Because
absolutely.
It's so frustrating to have a problem arise and have to schedule a meeting. And then by the time the meeting comes, you're like, wait a second, what exactly was the problem we were trying to unlock? Where when you're doing it in real time with the people that can help solve the problem, it's not only faster, but you save sometimes days of waiting and having to rehash how you got to the point that you needed to have the meeting in the first place. So I love the impromptu meetings. But one of the other things, and I really appreciate you because I know that we've had some very out-of-the-box solutions arise to leadership and say, why don't we give this a whirl? And you have always allowed us to try out new things. So the second thing that we have done is really try to find various forms of digital communication, knowing that not everybody is going to always be in the office live every day. There's going to be people who miss things because they're traveling. We knew we needed to move to a more digital platform. So can you walk us through some of the things that we have done at Southwest Michigan First to add not replace face-to-face communication, but add digital communication to reinforce what's happening live.
Yeah, so and we'll talk about face-to-face in point three, but for us, you know, we've got rolling screens that are programmed sometimes daily, sometimes weekly, that are reminding team members of things going on, meetings coming up, anniversaries, new kids joining the team and their bio information, just those things that are there. So you're getting that even if you miss our morning scrum. And I think that's critical, something that a lot of people in tech were using, but I don't think it's gotten out, certainly in the Midwest as much and outside of tech, is Slack. And it has really become a communication must-have for us. So you can not only, you know, are you communicating like you would with a text, but you can do it in multiple channels. You can build teams around it. And it gives you the ability to go back and review what was said and what's going on. And I think it just feels very, very inclusive. And it's amazingly easy to use. And then there's the traditional email, although we're trying very hard not to use it. And so I would rather hear people yell across the office a question than email it to somebody, because you just can't deal with it. I'm about to go into a really busy season, and I've got to figure out a way to eliminate emails. And, you know, short of just deleting them, but if I can't figure out, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to delete before reading, because I just can't quit doing my job to address constant flows of emails. And if you send me an email and you reply all in it, I will ban you from my list. I will block you. So that's my pet peeve, is reply all. I don't need to know what your lunch order was. So those are some of the things we're doing, but we're always experimenting with, you know, different things and some nonverbals. Faye, who's, you know, my co-leader on my team, Faye has stickers or pins of airplanes that when she puts up and around her area, it means that's a no-fly zone, and do not bug her. If you see that, do not talk to Faye, because she'll cut you. And so, you know, but those are those nonverbal communications that we give each other and that allow us to thrive as a team.
And going back to the Slack, because I think one of the things that it unlocked for our team is a way to not have to email. I mean, we're spending a lot less time in email because we can quickly Slack somebody, and it's much more like a text when you do that, and it's not going to get buried as quickly as email. I know for you, and I know for myself, with over 300 and so clients, and I don't even know how many listeners that you have that reach out to you on a daily basis, but I'm sure it's way more than what I have. Emails can get buried. And the last thing you want as a leader is to ignore somebody on your team. And Slack has provided a way that it's much easier to not lose track of the conversation and to go back and just quickly reply, because it's less formal. It's more like a text message than anything. Yeah. So it's a quick response. And then lastly, so we covered office space, we covered digital communication. And then for us, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast before, Ron, but it is just so vital to the team at Southwest Michigan First. I can't imagine ever working at a company again that did not have some form of Scrum.
Yep. And so Scrum comes from my background in rugby, and the terms that most people know, the Scrum, because it's where eight bodies from each team mash against each other. But for us, it's a metaphor of doing the hard work. But we meet every morning at 8:05. So if you call our office at 8:05, we're not going to answer the phone. We're in Scrum. And we spend 10 to 15 minutes, everybody on the team who's in the office. And most days, that's, you know, 20 plus people. So each day we're going over different things. On Mondays, we communicate our schedules that others should know about or could help with. On Tuesdays, it's a member of leadership team talking about something regarding the organization. It's usually more inspirational or big picture. Wednesdays, we're looking at the scoreboard. We're looking at our data. We're looking at marketing materials. So we like to study what the best is out there. Thursdays are team engagement. And then where we're sharing stories about our own lives. You know, what'd you want to be when you're in the third grade? Or tell us a story about your first bike or something so we get to know each other. And then Fridays is about thank you notes. So we call them catellations. And they're love notes to say, hey, you were amazing. I saw you do this thing. Thank you for your help. Thank you for the impact you're having on your community, on your family. Hey, I'm proud of you things. And those are really powerful. And we read those out loud. We don't just stick them on somebody's desk. We want the whole team to know how much we love and appreciate the people around us.
And I think one of the things that's been really powerful about Scrum is that as different communication needs have arisen in the organization, we'll change some of the days of Scrum in order to feed that communication need. So one of them, as we moved to in more of an open office concept, was we really wanted, as teams started working more as teams, we really wanted an opportunity for them to share what their team was working on. And so one of the days, you know, a couple days a month, we reserve a day for each team to share out on a big project that they've worked on, a recent success that they've had, or kind of the vision of that team moving forward. And I think that has also created some of that cross-pollination as we've continued to grow. And I think growth can be a really challenging time for an organization because that's when you start to see that communication overflow where there's so much going on and so many more people at different stages in their career and understanding of what the organization is doing and why, that pouring in even more, even though it seems like repetitive to some who have been there for a while, is so vital.
It is. It's critical. Human nature needs more and more knowledge at all times, and it's easy to feel isolated. So by creating intentional spaces where we're talking about, here's what our team's doing, and here's how the work you do supports and plays into that. So everybody understands that success by one team members or team members is not isolated. It's a success for the whole organization. And so it allows us all to support the mission.
And I think one of the most important lessons I learned early on at Southwest Michigan First was in regard to communication. And you had made a comment at one point when we were talking about communication and you said, you know, if you have a question or if you think you need to know something, you can't be afraid to ask it. Do not let yourself be the victim of not knowing something because you didn't ask it and isolate yourself and say, nobody tells me anything. And I think, you know, going back to organizations and the health of organizations, that often is what, when you're pulsing an organization, you'll have a few people who really have kind of a chip on their shoulder about the leadership isn't telling me anything. And the question that you've always said back to everyone is, well, are you asking? Because they're not mind readers. They don't always know what you might not have absorbed in natural conversation.
Ignorance is the enemy and it's your fault. If you stay ignorant, that's your fault. If you ask a question and I refuse to answer it, then we have a different situation. But if I don't know that you don't know it, that you're ignorant of that, then that's not my fault. That's on you. And you've got to stand up and do that. But organizations have to create safe places for that, which is why, you know, every member of the team has a mentor on the team that's your safe place to ask that. If it's something that you don't feel comfortable, it's embarrassed, you don't understand, your mentor can help with that and sometimes ask the question on your behalf. But yeah, if you stay ignorant, that's on you.
So again, just to recap as we close, Ron, we wanted to start this podcast with sharing three ways that we have really focused on communication at Southwest Michigan First. So we covered the open office, importance of face-to-face contact with one another, various forms of digital communication from the screens to Slack, trying to cut down that email, and then team updates at Scrum and just Scrum in general. Is there anything else that you want to add that we have done at Southwest Michigan First or you've seen other leaders do to really improve that communication hurdle?
I think in a technology-driven world, we can't just rely on the technology. Got to create intersections. You know, for us, that's a lot of team and family meals. We're a big believer in if you're not celebrating things, and there's lots of things to celebrate out there, around a meal or around everybody going after work and getting appetizers, that you're making a big mistake, because you aren't doing that so you get a free meal. You're doing that so the team communicates with each other. But as an organization, you communicate what's important. And so that nonverbal intentional communication can't be done over Slack or email. It has to be done in person.
So in closing, if you're sitting out there in a seat where you know communication continues to be an issue or a challenge for your organization, we just encourage you to not be afraid to spice it up, not be afraid to talk about it amongst the other individuals that you work with, because there's probably a solution to your problem there. But again, it goes back to, and I know we talked about this in a previous podcast, but being curious enough to find out good solutions to that problem and knowing that it's going to be a constant. It's probably not one of those things that you ever completely fix the hole in the rubber bucket. You're going to have to continue to reintegrate how you communicate.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Ron, for sharing insights again today, and we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.